I wanted to start my talk today with a quote by Thich Nhat Hanh, which I read the other day and which seemed very pertinent to the current situation. We have a tendency to think in terms of doing and not in terms of being. We think that when we're doing anything and we're not doing anything, we're wasting our time. But that's not true. Our time is first of all for us to be. To be what? To be alive, to be peaceful, to be joyful, to be loving. And this is what the world needs the most. We all need to train ourselves in our way of being, and that is the ground for all action. Our quality of being determines our quality of doing. So I'll read that again. Our quality of being determines our quality of doing. So that seems very pertinent. And to me, it also seems to be at the heart, in a way, of what we're doing with a practice like Zen. It's really, there's always things we can do, but it's really about how we do them that is what's important. And that's what we're training in the meditation practice. And also the practice of looking at the ethical aspects as well and the insights. So when we look at the Eightfold Path, the practice of meditation, the practice of the ethics, and the practice of insights or understanding. And of course, there are many ways of doing that and practicing. So today I'd like to share one that some of you may have already come across and maybe others haven't. But it's a practice that's taught quite a lot in the insight meditation tradition. Particularly by people like Jack Kornfield and Tara Brach, and it's called the practice of RAIN, which is an acronym. And it's a very helpful practice because you can do it when you're actually doing it in the meditation, but you can also do aspects of it in day-to-day when things come up or you're finding yourself a bit frazzled or out of sorts. So there's four steps to it, which I'll go through and then I'll talk about each one. So R stands for recognize, A, allow, I is investigate, and N can be non-identification, which we can relate to in Zen, but Tara Brach recently changed it to nurture, and I actually quite like that, so I'll go with her version for today, nurture. And the idea is that you might do them step by step, so you might recognize something, allow it, investigate, and then get to this step of non-identification or nurture. But you can also do one or two at a time, or you can even start with nurture. And sometimes if someone has been through a lot of difficulties, or even in our own lives, we have been through a lot of challenges and we're feeling quite depleted, it can actually be quite important to start with nurture and sort of spend some time with that and looking after ourselves and sort of building up our inner resources before we maybe even go to some of the other steps. So sometimes I think of it like soil, which has been, you know, the goodness has been taken out of the soil for a long time. Maybe it's been over farmed or there's a lot of long drought or something. There's not much left in the soil. And sometimes then when it rains, the soil is actually hydrophobic and can't actually absorb the water. It just sort of runs off. And so if you're feeling very depleted, then we might have all these good practices and good ideas and read all this stuff, but we can't really absorb it because we've become hydrophobic perhaps. And so what we do with soil, we build it up slowly with compost and nurture it and look after it. And then when it rains, you can actually absorb what is there. And we can look in our own life, what is it that nurtures us, that gives us that sense of being, you know, nurtured in some way spiritually or emotionally or physically, and then maybe build ourselves up so we can receive what is being offered to us. But let's start at the recognize. And of course, recognize is a very basic mindfulness skill that we actually know what's happening right now. So often we're caught up in, you know, a lot of thinking, a lot of worrying, and we miss quite a lot of what's going on. So recognize is the opposite of mindlessness, is to say what is actually happening right now. And to recognize that something is going on, something that, you know, is worth paying attention to. And the idea is, you know, in Zen we often say, what is really happening right now? and tuning into the body sensations, thoughts, emotions, senses, to really have that sense of what is happening right now. So to give an example, last Friday I was at home doing an assignment, and then at lunchtime I thought I'll just go to the shops and get a few things for dinner. And so this was about lunchtime on a Friday, and usually there's not that many people around. But when I arrived, the car park was packed. There was no space at all, and everyone was driving around. And immediately I thought, what is going on here? Obviously, everyone knows something that I don't know. So what is it? Why are they all here? And I didn't even realize it was important to be here. And as soon as you start having those thoughts, you think, oh, I better, you know, also find out what they all know that I don't know, because this could be important. And a sense of anxiety, and also a sense of urgency, you know, I better get to the shops and get whatever it is everyone else is here for, to make sure that I'm okay. And so in this practice, you can recognize it. So you can say, yes, okay, well, you know, 1 minute I was fairly relaxed, just popping in, get a couple of things. Next minute, my anxiety level has gone up a bit, and the sense of urgency has increased quite a bit. And of course, you're trying to find a car spot. This car park near us is really badly designed at the best of times. So, you know, everyone going all over the place, looking at people, and to think, oh, have any of them got toilet paper? Maybe there's been a, you know, supply of toilet paper. Anyway, all of this is going on. And then the next step in this practice is allow. And that's a really crucial step, because part of, you know, in a situation like that, you think, okay, I don't want to get caught up in that. I don't want to start panic buying or get caught up in the general hysteria. I'm different, you know, I meditate. So, and the allowing part is really saying, well, actually, I'm also human. And these are anxiety producing times. And yes, it's understandable that you come into this situation I wasn't expecting, and to allow myself to have that sense of feeling a bit anxious and feeling a bit sense of urgency, to recognize it and then also allow myself to experience it. And the allow part of it is really the sense of accepting how things are in this moment. So accepting life as it is right in this moment. It doesn't mean that we just, you know, if something, we notice something, we have that sense of allowing. It doesn't mean we don't take some action or do, you know, steps after that. But the initial is just allowing yourself to think, yes, this is how I'm feeling and this is okay. This is just a normal human response. So the allow, and so sometimes just doing those first two steps might be enough. So you recognize what's going on and you allow yourself a few moments of feeling it, and then you might feel more, you know, sort of calmed down by that process, and maybe then just keep going with whatever you're doing. And it's same in meditation. So sometimes we might be doing a practice, maybe counting the breath, and then we recognize our mind has wandered off. Maybe an emotion has come up, we might allow ourselves to be with it, but we don't have to spend too much time on it. We can just say, oh yeah, here it is, and I'll go back to whatever I was doing in a sort of natural way. But sometimes if something is more, you know, really trying to call our attention and really saying, hang on, pay some attention here, then we can go to the next step. And that's particularly the sitting meditation, I think, is really, really good at the next step. You know, so we're still sitting here, we're allowing whatever's there, and then we can sort of investigate a little bit deeper into what's going on. And this is not investigative journalism. It's not analyzing the politics of, you know, why the shops are empty or the response to a situation like the coronavirus. But it's more embodied, just really tuning into and being with what is there, and having that sense of curious and warm attention to what is. So that could be things like noticing tension in the shoulder and thinking, yeah, what is that about? You know, what am I holding on to here? What is that sort of representing? Where can I feel it most strongly? So it could be in the stomach or it could be in the head. And really that very embodied sense of tuning into quite subtle sensations. Are they changing? Are they, you know, pulsating? Are they really solid or whatever? So really having that sense of embodied what is happening. And you can also then ask yourself, what does this place actually need right now? What does it need most strongly? What can I give this place that's happening in my body to, you know, to be with it in a better way? So you might do that practice for a while. And you may have some sort of insights as well, but it's really more about that very embodied practice rather than intellectualizing and starting going off into conceptual thought. And then the last step is traditionally non-identification. And like I said, in Zen, you know, we often talk about no self and things like that, and that can be useful as well. And yeah, certainly times when we can say, you know, I'm not my body, or, you know, I'm bigger than this or whatever, in a sense of that sense of not getting too identified with those things, but seeing them in a bigger context. But I like Tara Brach's recent sort of move to nurture, because this work is quite challenging. You know, sitting with life as it is not for the faint-hearted, and it can be difficult, and it can be the sense of, you know, this is really quite hard, but I'm committed to the practice, I've done it, but what do I need afterwards? It's a bit like sometimes at work, you know, when I had a difficult conversation on the phone with a client, and then I think, well, okay, now I need to just go outside and have a cup of tea for a few moments and just get, you know, back into looking after myself. And that sense of, yes, we are committed to being life with life as it is, but we can do that in a way that's also kind and warm to ourselves, not just harsh and, yeah, you know, this is how it is. And, you know, that sense of this is a good practice, this is really important, and just sort of stay with that. But the sense of also looking after ourselves at the same time as we're doing this process, in whatever way that is for us. It might be quite small. Sometimes we need a bit more, sometimes a bit less. But that basic intention of, yes, I'm doing the practice, but I'm also doing it in a way that's kind to myself and compassionate. And so once we've done the practice, it's a really good idea then to really tune in and to notice what has actually shifted through that practice. In what way, how was I feeling before, and how am I feeling now? Because what that then does is sort of deepen the process of what has occurred. So over time, what has become a state, a brief state of feeling maybe more grounded or more embodied in what is, can become more of a state of being. So what we're wanting to do in meditation practice is have temporary states that over time become the trait. And that's what Thich Nhat Hanh was talking about in that quote, is who do we become through the long-term meditation practice? And that then informs how we act. And so going back to that car park example, so I did do the recognize, and I did do the allow, and I did do the shopping. No toilet paper, but that's okay. but something I did notice then when I was leaving is that there were a couple of times when the cars were quite tight, but I was sort of able to sort of maneuver and then wave the other person through, and a couple of people were really quite friendly and sort of waved back, no, thank you, and, you know, and then someone was crossing at the walking path, and I sort of let her through, and then she smiled. And so there was, even with all the tension and the atmosphere in the supermarket being quite tense and everyone trying to get a car park, there was still that room for that little interaction. And probably if I hadn't sort of had that sense of what is going on here and maybe done a little bit of practice with that situation, I might have been quite oblivious to that and thought, I just need to get out of here. This is, you know, really, really stressful. But when you sort of step back a little bit and open yourself up, you actually can notice, yes, people are tense, but people are still friendly. Isn't that lovely? You know, in that circumstance, that people still have that ability to connect and wave to each other in that kind way. So I'd like to finish with another quote by Thich Nhat Hanh. And that's from his book, Silence. The most precious thing we can give to another is our presence, which contributes to the collective energy of mindfulness and peace. We can sit for those who can't sit, walk for those who can't walk, and create peace and stillness within us for people who have no stillness or peace.